Well, last Sunday was Christmas Sunday, and I talked about the difference the Christ child made to the world. Still 2,000 years later, we're enjoying the benefits of the difference he made in the world. I mentioned last Sunday that if there was one single word I had to choose to use to describe the New Testament compared to the Old Testament, what one word would I use? And that's an easy one. It's the word grace. The New Testament is all about grace. When Jesus came to the earth, he brought a covenant of grace. And I remember last Sunday making that statement, and it has stayed with me, and Revelation has continued to unfold. What a different time we live in today under the new covenant because of Jesus and because this is a covenant of grace. And I remember last Sunday I said, now, if you were to ask me for one word to describe the Old Testament, I would need more than one. But since last week, I've settled on one word. I might as well just say it like it is. If there was one word that could best describe the Old Testament, it would be the word law. I hate it, hate that word. I don't like religion very much, and I don't like legalism at all. But Jesus said in John chapter 1, verse 16, or it was said of Jesus, and of his fullness we've all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I remember last Sunday talking about the paradigm shift. I mean, everything changed when Jesus arrived. There was a shift from law and duty and legalism to the grace of God. I remember talking last week about under the New Testament, God's grace is unlimited, it's unrestrained, it's unrestricted. And I gave two or three examples about how under the New Testament, since Christ came, grace will look you up and track you down. I mean, it's like the goodness of God on steroids. Just a couple of examples. Last week, the woman at the well, she was a mess. She was famous in her region for being that kind of woman. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with her. She had been married 5 times and was living with a man she was not even married to then. And so everybody in town would whisper about her. But grace went out of its way. Jesus said, I need to go through Samaria. And he did it so that the grace of God could overwhelm that sinful woman. Also, another example I gave last Sunday, Saul. He was the number one terrorist of his day. He would persecute, imprison, and murder Christians in the early days of the church. And he was on a horse riding to Damascus. His agenda was to kill more Christians. When all of a sudden the grace of God pursued him, tracked him, he wasn't even interested in anything God had for him. He didn't even believe at all. But the thing about the New Testament is God's grace will seek you out, will track you down, will catch up with you, will overtake you, whether you're looking for it or not. It was not that way in the Old Testament. Now, there are some other contrast between the Old and the New Testament words. The Old Testament word would be sacrifice. It was all about sacrifice. Every time you came to the temple, you had to bring your best animal, and you had to offer it on the altar as a sacrifice. The temple was a bloody mess. Year after year, everybody who wanted their sins not permanently forgiven, but just temporarily covered, would bring their best animal and offer it on the altar. The New Testament word would be obedience. Old Testament sacrifice, New Testament obedience. The Old Testament prophet prophesied that and said, obedience is better than sacrifice. What he was saying is the new covenant that will come is better than the old covenant we are stuck with now. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of an animal that covered our sin temporarily. In the New Testament, it was the blood of Jesus who gave once and for all. And it not only covered our sin, it cleansed us from sin. A lot of difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so today I want to talk about the grace sufficiency. I'm still enjoying learning about how sufficient God's grace is. But now, can I be real this morning? How real can I be up in here? Real. Real. We love the gospel. We live by the gospel. It is good news. We preach it. We believe it. But I want to be real. In spite of the fact that the promises of God are almost unlimited, it seems. We live in a real world, and a lot of people are dealing right now with disappointments. Some people are bringing closure to this year, suffered a setback, and even some of us have suffered great loss. Some of us have been through things in this past year. We had a right in the natural to be disappointed. And can I be really, really, really real just for a moment? At times, tempted to be disappointed with God. Now, you won't hear this, hopefully, many other places today. But it is simply the truth. Disappointed, perhaps, with God because he didn't remove the problem. We prayed, God, please take this problem away. Please solve this problem. And he didn't. When you know God could change the situation, but he doesn't. And even worse, when you see God take care of the similar problem in somebody else's life, but not yours. Oh, I didn't mean to open up a can of worms. But God's grace is either sufficient or it is not. Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. Theologians have debated for 2,000 years what it really was. Some say it was a physical infirmity, a sickness, a disease that he just could not find healing for. Others say it was a mental or an emotional or a spiritual attack only because of the amount of revelation God had given him, and it was there to keep him humble, and that's a debate all of its own. I don't even care what it was. It really doesn't matter what it was. What matters is this. The Bible says that Paul prayed three times for God to remove that thorn from his life. One version says Paul implored. That word is so powerful. It literally means Paul gave it his best argument before the Lord. Please remove this. I ask you, I beg you, I plead with you, I implore you, take this problem away from me. Three times. And God did not answer his prayer the way he wanted it answered. Instead, the answer came back in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." I like the way the New Living Translation says it. My grace is all you need. I'm enjoying living there right now. I have my own war stories. You do too. We've all been through some things. We've all suffered loss. There have been times I've been disappointed, utterly disappointed. There have been times I just knew that I knew that I knew that the will of God was going to be this for me, and it wasn't. There was a time when I was a young man, younger. Whoa. I was a younger man. I wanted to go to work with the world's largest evangelist at the time. His name was Jimmy Swaggart. And I had a friend who was in his band. And he arranged for me to have an interview. So I went and spent 3 days with the crusade team. And I was applying for the job of sound man. And we run a auditorium that seated 10,000 people. And I was running sound for 3 services, a lot of great music and preaching. And man, I just knew. I was at a place in my life right then. This is God's will for me. I can see the will of God all over this for me. I just knew it. I mean, I breathed it. My hope level was off the charts. I just knew I was going to get that job. And I auditioned for the weekend and came home and waited on the phone to ring. They told me, Carl, you did a real good job. It's between you and one other man. We've got a decision to make, and we're going to decide in the next 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, I was just new. I'm going to be working there. And then I got a call. I said, I'm sorry. We went with the other man. Both of you were good, but he had a degree in sound engineering. And that gave him an edge over you. And I was shattered. I just knew God was going to open that door. It felt so good to me. I just wanted it. I was convinced it was God's best for me. And then all of a sudden, now all of the air was let out of my balloon. And I crashed. And I was disappointed. But I look back now and see how smart God was, that he did not open that door for me. My life would have been completely different today. So God's grace picks us up when our understanding runs out. We can't make sense of anything going on, but God's grace is sufficient. That's what he told Paul. My grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. God's grace is so good in the New Testament, and we enjoy it that many times in my life, in my young life so far, I've had to go to the Lord and say, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. I want to tell you how Laverne Tripp taught me how I could enjoy God's grace, and especially and specifically when it comes to having peace on demand. Laverne, of course, gospel singer, a great evangelist, and he's like an older brother to me. He wanted to go to Nicaragua a couple of years ago, so I went with him to Nicaragua, and of course, Brian Hudson, the world's greatest missionary, was our host, our translator, and Brian arranged for Laverne to be interviewed on television stations there, Christian radio station, and then this is one of the services that we had there where hundreds and hundreds of people came to hear Laverne sing, and down there he was known as the king, America's king of gospel music, and one of his songs that was a hit here, We've Got the Power, down there, it's a big hit still. And it's sung by a lot of churches down there in the Spanish language. So in this particular service, it was wonderful, just powerful. I'm standing over on the sidelines enjoying every minute of it. And Laverne is singing, We've Got the Power. And everybody is singing along in Spanish, Tenemos Poder en el Nombre de Jesus. And it was just a special trip. We were only on the ground 3 days, and memories I'll cherish for the rest of my life. But what I took away more than anything was something he said to me at the airport as we were about to fly home. We were at the airport in Managua and waiting for the flight. Now, he was flying to Miami and then from there on wherever, and I was flying to Atlanta and from there on to Florence eventually. It was a Friday, and we had our weekends planned, you know. I mean, I had to be back here, of course, on Saturday because of Sunday, and that's the way our flights were booked. And we're sitting at the Managua Airport, Laverne and me, and the flights both were delayed. And my connection was short in Atlanta. I barely had enough time to make my connection to come through customs and then get on another plane, go to Charlotte or wherever next. And so I'm sitting there with Laverne, and I'm sweating. And then the announcement keeps coming. Your flight had been delayed. Then I found out the plane that was to take me from Nicaragua to Atlanta had not even arrived in Managua yet. And so I'm wringing my hands, and I had forgotten all about God's grace and his goodness and everything that comes with that. And I said, Laverne, there's no way I'm going to make. You may make your connection because yours is not as tight as, but there's no way I'm going to make my connection. My whole weekend is, I don't know where I will spend the night. And I was flustered. I was all bent out of shape. And Laverne looked at me and said, Carl, there's not one thing you can do about it. You might as well stay in peace. And when he said that, it was like a light switch. It was like, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm back in peace instantly. Peace on demand. No matter what your circumstance, even the disappointments, the setbacks, the what-ifs, the maybe-sos, the maybe-nots, God's grace is sufficient. When something's going on in your life and you have no understanding, then that's when trust and faith really kick in. If you understood everything that was going on around you all the time, you would never need to trust God or depend on his grace. So now I remember that conversation. Anytime I feel my peace evaporating, I can have the peace of God on demand. No matter it's not based on circumstances, not based on even my understanding. Lord, I do not understand how we prayed, and you did not answer the prayer the way we wanted you to. God's grace is sufficient. Understanding is limited. Faith and trust in God is not. In Romans 11, in verse 33, it says, oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? Can I just be further real? There have been a few times in my life when I thought the Lord needed my advice. Now, Lord, let me explain this to you. I know I'm not the only one. I'm just being real this morning. Who can know the Lord's thoughts and who knows enough to give him advice? A.W. Tozer made this statement over a century ago. It was true then. It's still true today. He said this, God acts and doesn't act with perfect wisdom. God acts and God doesn't act, and always with perfect wisdom. And so his grace is sufficient, whatever you're dealing with now, all the questions you have without answers. His grace is all we need. Proverbs 3 and 5. It's a familiar verse of Scripture, but listen to it as if you're hearing this for the first time. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, if we could just do that, I think we have the grace to obey that command right there. And it is a commandment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The Message translation says, don't try to figure out everything on your own. The Amplified Bible says, do not rely on your own insight. And then this is the one that I need. It's from the Passion Translation. It's the newest translation out there. If you don't have it, download it. It's really great. The Passion Translation in that verse says, do not rely on your own opinion. And don't we have an opinion sometimes? Faith is trusting God when you don't understand, and His grace is all we need to do that. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. Would you bow your heads just for a moment?